and welcome back to the Vaulting Pod. Today I have a special guest from Denmark who has been requested and also has been on my list for a long time. And that's my dear friend Amanda Stolzer, or Amanda Alonga Stolzer, which is her full name. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's so lovely to have you on the podcast. I've been thinking about it for such a long time. Well, not everybody knows who you are, so please tell me a little bit about you.
Well, I am an equestrian vaulter and physiotherapist, online coach, and I've been vaulting for half my life now, so that would be 14 years probably.
Wow, that's awesome.
And at the moment I am an individual vaulter and I am a squad member on a team from Billund.
Yeah, in Denmark. So yes. Yeah. Well, maybe you should tell the listeners a little bit how we met, because that could be interesting since we have known each other for a couple of years now.
Yes. So I believe we met 5 years ago in 16.
Yeah, that's true.
At the technical test camp in Sweden.
Yeah.
I remember it was far up in Sweden. I drove in forever, but I mean, you're used to that now.
Yeah. You're a little bit closer to distances in Denmark, but I guess that you still have some kind of drive-throughs, like 3-hour drives to competitions in Denmark too.
Right? Yes, definitely. But I remember that was my first long road trip alone going there.
Yeah, and I remember you, in my eyes, it was like, I remember you were so young and you're going on your own. It's like, wow. But I mean, you were not so young because, I mean, there are not so many years between you and me. I mean, I think I'm 5 years older than you, but that's not a lot, I guess.
No, it's not.
What do you remember from the camp?
I remember seeing it on Instagram and contacting the Swedish Federation. Mm-hmm. And was like, can I join in on this? Because I have no idea what to do with technical tests. And I am a senior freestyle now, or I want to be at least.
Yeah.
And then I went. And what I remember was a bunch of very open-minded, sweet girls who was very interested in learning. And I remember Sandra Anderberg was a coach.
Yeah.
And then there was, Lina?
Yeah, Lina Torgesson.
Yes. And that was new for me to have outside coaches, in quotes, because it's just in Sweden, but it's still coaches I haven't worked with before or haven't worked with me before. So that was very exciting and interesting. And I feel like I definitely get another point of view on the technical exercises.
Mm.
So overall, very amazing opportunity and experience to have.
Funny thing is, I was about to translate some of the old blog posts from the Vaulting blog, and I ran through that one I wrote after the technical camp.
Yeah.
So it's fun because I got some of the thoughts I had back then, and one of them was that I had a different trainer than my usual trainers, since I had only been vaulting for a year or so. And I remember that I had this other trainer, and she said, well, yeah, I think you could do the mount on yourself. And I was like, oh my god, my other trainer doesn't think I could do it. And then she believed in me, and that helped me a lot. So it was really cool to have other trainers, as you said. And
definitely.
Then I remember also, I wasn't able to do like anything of the technical exercises on the horse, and I remember you were so good back then. I was like, wow.
Oh yeah,
god.
We were on horses.
Yes, we had horses too.
Yeah, we were on horses.
I don't know which exercise you could do back then on the horse on the camp, but I was only able to sit like on my knees on the back.
Yeah.
Like the second before you want to do a roll. I wouldn't do the roll. And also, I think I did backwards stand, but not like really stand. But that was like huge for me.
I think that was the years of the plank as well.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
So there was the roll, the mount to the neck.
Shoot up, yes.
Yes, a shoot up. I think that's easier than to the shoulder stand, or what do you think?
I believe so, but I think they wanted us to do the shoot up and go for handstand. Which I was definitely not capable of, so I never scored very well in that one.
Can you do it now?
I haven't tried.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's like when a technical exercise is out,
yeah,
it's out of my mind as well.
Well, I think you have a point on that, but I think the role that will disappear from next year, I think still that's a really good exercise to be able to do, even if it's not in the technical test now, because it's an easy way to get from the horse's back to the neck.
Exactly. Exactly. So that one is different.
Yeah. And I know that the technical test has become something of your specialty.
Yes, I have started to enjoy doing the technical test.
Besides
the needle, yes. Let alone the needle. I am not a fan of that one because I'm not flexible by nature at all. And I like to do strength training, and my hamstrings are just not built for needles.
I so got you.
Yeah. Well, but I like the fact that I am a huge compulsory girl, first of all. And then second come technical. Because I like the fact that I have some exercises that I have to do and they have to look a certain way. And yeah, you know, they already fill out half my freestyle limb. So yeah. Then you only have to prepare another half. So I just think it's amazing.
And another freestyle.
And then you have the whole freestyle, the actual freestyle. So yeah, I do like the technical test. It's tough, and the exercises are definitely difficult, but I have changed my mindset around it, mm-hmm. and changed my view on it, and it definitely changed the whole game for me.
And it's weird anyway, because I had really hard times to think about how I would ever be able to do, for example, a roll.
Yeah.
And I mean, also the jump from the knees to standing, and I mean, I'm still not there standing backwards, but I have done it on the simulator, and that is definitely a subject we have to talk about, because we do have the same simulator, not sharing it, but we have one each that is the same company, and how that affects training. But just wanted to say that, the simulator helps a lot with it, and I didn't think I would ever be able to manage some of the exercises, but now I'm about to do, and
you're so close.
Yeah.
And you already nailed some of them, so you should definitely yes. pat yourself on the shoulder.
Thank you. Sometimes I do.
Good.
Sometimes I look at the videos like, oh my god, is this really me? So yeah.
And I think like with the technical exercises, you mentioned mm-hmm. the jump from kneeling to backwards. Yeah. Luckily, I just forgot the process. But now that we're talking about it, I remember falling off and jumping besides the horse so many times and not being able to standing backwards before trying to learn the exercise.
Yeah.
So you really got to break it up. I think that's important. And I just realized all of a sudden, remembered.
Yeah, that's so fun when you talk about stuff like this, because then you remember. Just what I thought about it was that I started to like it because I started to be able to do stuff of it since I'm training on the simulator. But yeah. You said you started to like it.
Yeah, exactly. It just starts a fire in me. Like, okay, I was this close this time, so next time it's there.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. You just want to beat yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
What's your favorite technical exercise?
My favorite. I'm split between the elbow stand or lower arm stand and the knees to feet backwards. I love both, and they are completely different.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, and it's different forces, but I must admit, lower arm stand is because it was easy for me from the beginning, sort of, because I've always had a lower arm stand in my freestyles. So I think the knees to feet is really the power move mm-hmm. where I really feel like I have evolved, because as I said, I've been falling down so many times in the beginning of this process to learn this exercise.
So it's like a huge success, because you just
really every time it. And it's just a great feeling, you know, and especially for people who don't know a vaulting, they're like, oh, did she just jump from knees to her feet and backwards?
Yeah,
when you look at it that way, it's actually a quite cool exercise.
But that is actually fun about vaulting, or very interesting, that some exercises, you know, they're freaking hard to learn and it takes a lot to do them. But for people not in vaulting, they're like, oh yeah, what, it's a handstand. But then you do a normal stand, like in the compulsory, and they're like, oh my gosh, she does stand on a horse. Like, yeah, but I did stand on my hands on the horse, and nobody gave me anything for that. So
yeah.
It's interesting how some exercises, as you said, like kneeling to backwards stand, I can't say if it's the hardest or not, because it's so different for people.
Yeah, it differs from person to person.
Yeah, but it's definitely not an easy one. And I've heard people say, well, that is a quite dangerous exercise as well. So, yeah. It's important to know where to fall.
Yes, it is.
And have your bailouts.
Yeah, know where you have to be.
Mm-hmm. That too. As you said, break it down. Yeah, stand
break it down step by step.
Yep. Jump up to the side. Walk around. Feel comfortable on the horse.
Exactly.
Do you... Oh, and by the way, I knew it was lower elbow stand. Because you're rocking it. It's like, it's so awesome when you do it. It's like, whoa. So, yeah. I think when I started to learn it, because I learned a lot of it at the gym, because I, at that time, didn't have... I was away a lot because of work, and also
yeah, I remember seeing that. Yeah.
Yeah, so I worked a lot of it at the gym, but I think that was at that time because it was a new exercise. I remember it now.
Yep.
And at first, I didn't even know how to do it because I had no pictures, and I needed pictures. I mean, reading the text is one part.
Yeah, right? Yeah, but actually knowing where to put your arms and hands in.
Yeah. And then I asked people and tried to find pictures on the internet. But I also remember that one of my my pictures in my head was from you, one of them.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, you gargle. Well, tell me, do you think that the simulators helped you to develop with the technical exercises?
The simulator have helped me develop every exercise, really. It is something sent from heaven.
Oh, yes.
I am so excited about that simulator, and I always will be. Both for myself and for my students as well. It just gives you something else that you can just continue practicing your techniques. And you're not afraid of hurting the horse because it's made of material and not an actual horse.
It's plastic.
Yes. So... So yeah, I'm definitely very excited about that one. And it had helped me a lot.
It is so fun because I remember when you were asking me about it because I got it before you.
Yeah, you got it way before me. Yeah,
yeah. And I didn't try it before I bought it. But since I'm quite, fish jumping into cold water sometimes, I was like, I saw it when Mona Pavicic was about to develop it. And I looked at it and was like, no way.
That is too cool to be true.
Well, actually, I have to back up a little bit.
Okay.
Because I had a friend, her name is Kati,
yeah.
Still have her, in Austria, and her dad built her one. And that was the first time he tried a barrel that is electric. That was not the movie. And I was hooked. And then she told me, the year after, I think, her dad had built her another one.
Yeah.
That was reacting to weight shifts.
Okay.
And I was like, this is impossible. For me, it was mind-blowing what it would mean for the horse's welfare.
Yeah, definitely.
So I can tell you, this was on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
I think 3 years ago. And I couldn't sleep for the whole night.
No.
Because I was laying in my bed and thinking, how should I be able to ever pay for that?
Yeah,
and make somebody build that? And then I saw Mona Pavicic, who had been developing the race wood together with the race wood for vaulting. I was like, yes, there is a product. But then again, but how should I pay for it? So I think I went over several months before I decided, no, if I'm not going to get this now, when will I ever?
Exactly.
So I just took a bank loan.
Yeah, you got to take your shot when in.
Yeah.
When it's there. Yeah.
And you, how were your thoughts before you got one?
Well, I looked at all your videos and talked to you about how it was and like, oh, should I not? Because yeah, it's a lot of money. But then I decided all of a sudden, and was it before COVID? Yeah, it was.
It was.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, because I got mine, I ordered mine in November 2019.
Yeah, and then I ordered it in spring.
Yeah, because I got mine in February.
20. Yeah.
So it was probably already in...
In March, actually, yeah. Because, yeah, now I remember. I was so close to doing it in March, and then I was like, oh, I gotta talk to Madeline some more. And then I was very hooked on it and ordered it from there. Yeah, so I got it when everything was closed and could just focus on practicing. It was amazing, actually.
Yeah, I think for me it was also not COVID, because that didn't happen then in November. For me, it was mainly about the Brexit, because I knew Brexit's coming. That would mean probably harder times to get it shipped and more fees and more expensive and taxes. So I was like, either go now or I go home.
True. Yeah, I got mine right before that as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was also, I think, one of the points and the pluses. Like, yeah, I need this. It's a pro.
And the funny thing is that, I mean, I was still not really sure when it came because of the money fact, yeah, even if I loved it from the first day. But, I mean, as time went by and COVID got worse, I was like, I don't regret anything.
No, and I mean, if you compare it to a horse, nothing can, like, stand in for a horse. Nothing. Mm-hmm. But if you compare it to the price and the cost of having a horse,
yeah,
it's nothing. I mean, it's easily saved.
I had people telling me, why don't you get a horse instead?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, but can you plug in a horse into an electric outlet and you pay for that fee? No, it costs much more every month.
Yeah.
How's your training changed from before and now?
It has changed a lot because I had a really hard time getting what I did on the barrel onto the horse.
Mm.
So this was a completely game changer for me, because all of a sudden it was just almost directly, you could put what you did on the simulator directly onto the horse.
Yeah.
Obviously there were some differences, mm-hmm. but it was what do you even call that? Yeah, it was just easier to apply it to the horse.
Yeah, of course, you can't do the same with the still
standing. So yeah, it was a game changer because it put me in a situation where I focused more on doing my techniques. I was more motivated to go on the barrel and work out, even in the winter, because you can really feel that you're doing something. Mm.
Yeah, you can get totally tired and worn out and totally destroyed by it.
Yes, you can.
Because it keeps going.
It's insane.
Just one more time. Yeah.
Nobody's cutting out the electricity. Okay, yes. I'll keep going. Yeah. So yeah, it was a complete game changer for me. And also, I came from an injury that lasted a year back in 2019.
Yeah.
So it really helped me get back into it, because I felt safer doing new stuff on that one than directly onto the horse, because obviously it's not as tall. So yes. I wouldn't fall as far. I wouldn't hurt it because it was not a horse. So I would just overall get more comfortable with the exercises before applying them on the horse.
And you can put mattresses on the floor.
And mattresses as well, yeah. So all the landings, all the falls, all the scary things that I feared was out of the equation somehow.
The funny thing is that you mentioned with applying the stuff you learned in the simulator directly to the horse. I wasn't sure about that for a long time because I had not had so much horse time. But then I started to realize, yes, it really does a lot. I mean, of course, it depends, of course, of the horse. I mean, if you have a very experienced horse or a very balanced horse, or if it's a smaller horse and not so much balanced, I mean, that, of course, makes a difference. But, I mean, there are a lot kind of different horses, so you always have to think about that. But no, it was really a game changer, and since I travel more to you and train more with your horses, it's like, oh my god, yeah, it finally pays off. It's like, wow.
Yeah, you can actually do most of the things you do on your simulator during the horse.
Yes.
There will be adjustments, but
yes,
nothing that you can't handle, so that's amazing. Yeah,
exactly, so I'm not regretting a day of having it.
Good, me neither.
Also, that's when I said I couldn't sleep that night, because about the welfare for the horse.
Yeah.
I can hit it, I can do stupid stuff that probably wouldn't even work on a horse, but I can try it. I can try it over and over again. And
yeah, really trying to find your limits.
Yes.
Yeah.
And nowadays I usually think, if I can't do it on the barrel in canter, I will not even try it on the horse in canter.
Exactly. Because that was the thing for me, like, okay, let me try this backwards needle on the barrel. Okay, it's easy,
yeah.
Balance-wise. And then you get up on the horse and you're just thrown directly out to the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But there's another thing too, I think, because I realized when I walk around in a circle on the barrel, on the racewood vaulting simulator, I feel that since it is in a room and you don't have the room going around you as you have on a horse,
yes,
you think only about yourself, and then it's like, oh my god, that doesn't take so much of me that I thought it would be. So when you go to the horse, you can try and remember, how did it feel on the barrel?
Yeah, just put yourself in the bubble and be like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's just movement, that's
exactly.
all.
Exactly. Just forget about the movement. I mean, of course, in some point it will make you feel, I mean, the G-forces,
yeah.
of course, they do, they are there too, but yeah, just the muscle memory, you know, okay,
yeah.
I have already done this. Well, then I at least should I try it on the horse.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it gives really a lot of confidence.
It does.
And for injury prevention.
Yeah, that one, especially.
Tell me more about it. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you really get to go into details with a lot of stuff when you're on the simulator. And in that way, you can definitely prevent some injuries because you don't tend to fall and... You know, it's steady in its movements,
yeah.
so you don't have to be afraid of, oh, will it trot all of a sudden, or will it run because a door slams, or...
Yeah.
So in that way, I definitely think it had prevented me from getting more injuries that I have already gotten. And getting comfortable, especially after coming back from an injury, getting comfortable with the landings, dismounts, because I know it's steady, so I only have to focus to going with the flow of the horse, and I know the ground will be steady and soft because I had a mattress there. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think there is a lot of things that you can work on. And you can be two people on it. So even if you're an individual and your horse is only used to individual vaulting, on the sim, you can have another person standing there or sitting there or supporting you in some way.
Yeah, really. No, and I think that about injury prevention, I have hard times to think about a life without it nowadays.
Yeah.
For me, it's much harder to think to not have it. I mean, of course, it costs money to buy, but again, if you stand there and choosing between a horse and a simulator, might get a simulator, and then a horse later, because if you have that, you can bridge over time where you don't have a horse.
Yeah.
And you can still develop.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
True.
I think. So yeah, and also I mean. Just imagine, and that's what I think is so mind-blowing, you could use it for physiotherapy, for other people, and for people with disabilities. So yeah, I wanted to have mine with a trot too.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
I asked for it, I asked also for one with a head and a neck, but it was just a little bit too pricey for me, so I was like, okay,
Oh, good. You could get that, though.
Yes, you could get it. You can have it with walk, too.
I mean, you were a first mover, so maybe they didn't have that prepared back then. But they had, okay.
Well, my biggest issue back then was that I needed to fit it into one door.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I didn't get the wide leg version, which you have. So I have, like, the small... version, but I still like that I have it because then I can put it on the board and
I mean you figured out how to use it anyway without having it bolted fast to the directly to the ground
they helped me a little bit with that too and also it's awesome. I have one person, he's called Bill. I love Bill. He's so cool. He's like, yes, I'm gonna be your racewood engineer for the rest of your life as you have this racewood.
Awesome. That's my biggest fear. What if anything happens to it? What do I do? Yeah.
Well, I have a carpenter in Sweden and he knows
things.
Okay,
I'll just bring it then.
Well, tell me about your favorite vaulting moments.
Well, there are so many. So if I can go from like the latest ones and then back.
Yeah.
Okay, the latest one was definitely national championships with Charlie.
Yeah.
Because Charlie have not been out for the whole year, and before this year we had COVID, and before the year before I was injured. So
tell me, who is Charlie?
He is my vaulting horse, and not only my vaulting horse, he's my everything horse. He is actually just my best friend.
He is your soul horse.
Yes, he is.
I think everybody who does vaulting has a soul horse.
Exactly. and mine is Charlie. Mm. And yeah, I got Charlie 5 years ago mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. Not ridden, not introduced to vaulting or nothing, mm. just straight from the field, actually, kind of. He had has some humans on his back, obviously. Mm-hmm. But he was 9 years old and nobody did anything with him. And I think that only makes our bond a little bit stronger because we have been through everything together. From him learning to accept me running next to him, to mount him, and just to mount him when he was standing because he was not used to that back then, mm. even with a saddle on.
Yeah, that's
well, yeah, so that's why the national championships this year was a huge memorable moment for me because we won our first medal together. Mm. Yes. So I'm very proud of him. And again, the fact that he hadn't been out for 2 years, or he has, but this year he hadn't been out before and he just acted like he has been out forever. And that really has been a game changer to me. And with that said, we have been practicing in different arenas, different places, all over our local area. Because I thought he needed to go somewhere. But competition-wise, it was first time in a long time he went out and he just took it like a gentleman. And I'm so proud of him.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Yep. And then before that, I had my individual competition this year in Aachen. And that was...
Okay, in Aachen.
Yes.
Yeah, and all people who know vaulting know that Aachen is like the biggest vaulting competition you can get to.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, Aachen was on a Turburg cluster, which is Maria Rasmussen's horse, and also our team horse. And that was just an unforgettable experience as well, because I've never been there. And then I got to go both as team and individual and on Turbo. So that was just huge. And the feeling when the curtains were just removed and we ran into that arena, it was just indescribable. So that was definitely a memorable moment as well. And then we were at...
Wait.
Yes?
We need to back up. Okay, the curtain opened.
Yeah.
Tell me, how did it feel? What do you think? What did you think in the moment?
I don't know. I was probably speechless. I was just like, okay, just focus on what you're about to do.
It's like, everybody looks at me, and yeah, I'm here now.
It was COVID time, so there was not okay. that many people, but still, the atmosphere is mm-hmm. just something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I loved it. That's really definitely one of my favorite competitions now.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And how did it feel to be there with Turbo and not with Charlie?
It felt great. And again, I haven't had Charlie out earlier that year. So, and everyone who has seen Turbo or met him somehow just knows he is the teammate and the gentleman. Mm-hmm. So that was definitely a big relief somehow because he is so, he's just used to it.
Yeah,
he just knows exactly what to do, and yeah, that's his thing.
He was the right horse for you at the right time.
Yeah, exactly.
He had the experience.
Exactly, he had the experience. I thought Aachen would be maybe a little bit too much pressure to put on Charlie.
Yeah,
right away. So.
Well, at least if he hadn't been competing so much during the year. Or still, were you thinking, you mean it would be too much for him? Is it because you...
No, just because I didn't know that how relaxed he would be.
Yeah, all right. But Turbo has been on, like, big competitions.
Yeah, he has been to all the big stages and...
Wow.
Yeah, so obviously that was a huge opportunity and I was so thankful for being able to get a spot on him for that.
Oh, awesome.
Yes.
Well, tell me more about your favorite moments. You were about to talk about something.
Yes. Yeah, this year has just been great in many ways. Mm-hmm. Then we went to the World Championships with my team as well. Also, a memorable moment, we got a bronze medal at the Nations Cup.
Yes, so awesome.
Yes. And that's just like... beyond what I would ever imagine and expect.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm speechless just now. That was something else.
I have seen
else.
Your medal. It's huge and heavy. And also,
yeah, I'll save that for a long time. That's a once in a lifetime kind of thing.
Yeah, I really do got that.
It is.
I think actually that's quite funny because, you know, friends and people, you know, you are not untouched by other lives. So no. You were telling me you were looking at my simulator. Well, I have been following your journey too because, yeah, I love you. You're a dear friend to me. And recently, after, I think the last time I was at your place in training, I felt like I couldn't convince everything I want to if I just set my mind to it.
Exactly.
And train carefully, listen to my body, still yes. Very important to me. But so I decided to have a new like huge goal, because yeah. My hugest goal was to go and compete on an international competition, and I did.
And you did that, yeah.
This summer. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I should try to be true to myself, because the international competition was actually not really, really what I wanted.
No.
It was, but I wanted more.
Yeah.
So after you went to the Worlds, I said to myself, okay, well, maybe now it's the time to really be true to myself and think about what I really wanted to. And since I started vaulting, I've always wanted to be, well, in the same room as people who compete at an international high level. So I decided my goal for the future is going to be at Worlds.
Yeah.
I don't care awesome. About the placement, anything. And my trainer said, well, have you decided if it's in teams or pas de deux or individuals? Like, no, I actually didn't think about that. So we can leave that to the future.
Yeah, exactly. Keep all doors open.
Yes. But you inspired me to that because no. Like, no, now I'm going to stop trying to fit in anywhere or live by anybody else's beliefs. Because I believe that you are the most important thing to your own success.
Exactly. So, you define your success. Nobody
exactly.
else does.
Yes, nobody does it for you. And since I don't have any haters who tell me I can't do anything, yeah. And if they would tell me I can't, I would even do it more.
It's none of their business.
No, exactly. And if you tell me I can't do it, I will definitely do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are
I'm
so many...
I'm glad to hear that.
Sorry?
I'm glad to hear
yeah.
that.
Nice.
It's so important to believe in oneself and just
yes.
be true to oneself. And like, this is what I really want.
Yeah, and I have always, since I've watched like the huge competitions from, I think it was European Championships in 2016, when I started vaulting. Yeah, 16 was still the first year actually. But yeah, since that I have been looking at these pictures and wanting to feel in that way. So it's not about any price or being like the best or anything. It is just, I want to experience what they feel. Or not what they feel, I want to experience
yeah, what you feel, yeah, how it can feel.
Yeah.
I definitely get that. It's always, you know, a competition between you and you.
Yeah.
It yeah. doesn't matter about who else is around or if they score more or less. It's just about being there and feeling right being there.
And for that, actually, I have to thank the past that I started with 18 or above 18, because if I wouldn't have done it, I wouldn't have from the beginning started to compete against myself, because I had no opponents in
yeah.
the beginning. That meant I had to find a different motivation.
Yeah.
And now that I have my own motivation, I don't have to motivate myself by others. And,
no.
And don't compare myself to others. As you
That's
said,
right.
with the flexibility,
yeah.
you know, I have a shitty flexibility too. I have to earn it.
Yeah.
Everything. What do you do to work on your flexibility then?
I don't know. I honestly care more about my hamstrings being strong enough to
mm-hmm.
secure my knees than
That's good. That's
yeah,
a
than I care
thought.
About being flexible right now.
Yeah.
For so many years I just look with wide eyes on everybody who could do a needle or a
mm-hmm.
split or but I just learned that's I will not say I've given up. That's
mm-hmm.
not it. and I didn't quit on getting flexible. It's just not a priority.
Yeah.
Let me put it that way. I'd rather stay free from injuries and strong than try to force my body into a position that is that it's not made for.
And I think that is such an important philosophy that you and me, I think we really share that. But it's probably because of the job. You're a physiotherapist, I'm a nurse.
Yeah.
And in the end, I mean, I have been taking care of people who have been in bad accidents and parts in their life you don't want to be in. And that makes you think about what really is important in life.
Yeah.
So it's probably that. I wouldn't want to change a life where I can't use my body at least to do the least. Yeah. Walk on my legs, make my own food.
Yeah, take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is more important than doing a stupid thing on a horse that might put me into that position.
It might be, yeah.
That moment of glory, it's not good enough to sacrifice everything.
No, it's satisfying for oneself for a week or so, and then you forget about it, the feeling.
Yeah. Well, and I'm very happy for my trainer too, because she always reminds me of that. Don't do stupid stuff!
Yeah, it's important to have people like that.
Yes. Oh, you see, we were talking earlier today a little bit, and you said sometimes you need somebody like a trainer who tells you, no, not further like than this.
Yeah, because it's like, it's always a struggle to be your own, make your own decisions when when stuff gets serious. Because on one hand, as a vaulter, you have your dreams, you have your goals, you want to challenge yourself to get where you want to be. On the other hand, you need to stay healthy, and you can't always think clearly when your dreams and your goals are pushing so much through that your health and your thoughts are just, the logical part of your brain is just being, pushed down. So sometimes it's just, even though you are an adult, have to have another adult kind of tell you, no, now is enough. Take care of yourself for a moment, breathe, and then let's talk about it. Yeah.
Maybe it is because the human has two eyes staring into the front.
Yeah.
But the horse has eyes on the sides and looks at the world in a different way.
Yeah, definitely.
We have
eyes. We can only look forward.
Eyes on the prize. Yeah. Horses is like, is there any carrots on the right or the left? No, it's just joking. But I think that's a fundamental difference.
It is.
In species, so. And you have quite a big Instagram account, from what I think a lot of people know you from.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
You want to tell me more about it? What are your thoughts behind it?
Yeah, my thoughts, at the beginning, it was just to have an account only for vaulting, or to go even further back, it was an account for Charlie, actually.
Yeah, I remember that. It was his name, actually.
It was Charlie's
yes.
account. Yes. And then I started to put more and more vaulting and less only Charlie on the in the field stuff.
And then you changed the name.
And then I changed the name because people started to call it, refer to me as Charlie, and
okay,
that's not
it.
My name. That's Charlie's name. Yeah. So from there I just changed it from Bobby Gorn's Charlie to Amanda Stosur and made it a vaulting account.
Yeah.
And I think it's not a general vaulting account, it's actually just what I do and how I do vaulting, and everything besides vaulting, training, workouts, food, my time with horses, but so definitely related to vaulting.
Yeah. Yes. Best sport in the world.
Yes. And I think my goal with the account or my vision has changed throughout the years. Obviously, when I started it, it was just to show the world how cute Charlie is. And then I started to feel like, oh, I might post a little bit more vaulting. And now it's more about getting vaulting out there. Mm-hmm. Try to reach more people that do not necessarily know about vaulting already.
Yeah.
Try to spread the word, because vaulting is awesome and everybody should know what it is. So whenever you mention vaulting, they should know. That's my goal. Mm. Yeah, so that's kind of it.
But it's interesting you mentioned that, because I have recently discovered some people. I say I do vaulting.
Yeah.
And they're like, uh-huh.
Yeah, like, but do they say, oh,
yeah.
They're like, okay, I don't know, I should know, but I don't know, so I'll just pretend I know.
No, like, not that kind of uh-huh.
Okay.
More like that, yeah. That like,
okay, so it comes to their mind, like, okay, I've seen that.
Of course, I always ask them, well, what do you know about vaulting? but they, yeah, well, yeah, it's gymnastics on horseback. It's like, wow. Or recently. But I also remember why. But there was this guy in the ice rink. I was going ice skating. Yeah. And he was like, oh, you're so good at ice skating. You must have been doing this for several years. Like, no. but I do gymnastics on horseback. Or vaulting. And it's like, ah, you're that girl. I was like, what? I'm not a local celebrity yet. I don't think so, because usually when you have a social media account, it doesn't get very big in your geographically local
area. Yeah, in your own
area. It's more like further away weird stuff, but yeah. And so I was like, no, does he know my Instagram? No. And then after a while I was like, ah, yeah, well, I have been talking to this guy before, but he had like all this gear on, so I couldn't...
So you couldn't recognize him.
Yeah. Hockey gear. On, so yeah. But yeah, so at least that's pretty starting to look a little bit more outside. But I think I actually had some people in the city who recognized me because I had been on the front page of the newspaper this
that's
summer.
Awesome.
When I went to international competition. Yeah. So yeah, and there's like people in my area just like house down and we know each other. He's like, oh, I saw you in the newspaper last week. He's like, it was last month, but yeah, cool, you saw me.
But they knew you were doing vaulting.
No, everybody
not like, oh,
knows.
I didn't know you did that.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but normal people know about it. And also I think what you and I have in common is that we want to promote the sport as a sport and not like a child little hobby.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not a circus trick. It's actually a sport like any other.
Yes.
Yep.
But when you ask me, it's like the hardest sport you can choose.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be a good all-round athlete to perform or just to do vaulting.
And the hard thing is, if you want to be flexible and strong and also... fast.
Yeah.
And horse mind. I mean,
yeah, there are so many parameters.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I've given up on the flexible one though, but
well,
almost an all-round athlete.
I know you are flexible though, because otherwise you wouldn't be able to do for example the mount, you need some kind of flexibility to do that too. And some of the freestyle exercises. And your needle doesn't look so bad anymore.
No, maybe I'm just good at covering it.
Yeah,
you gotta think smart, not hard.
Get some things to mark it hard. That's nice. Yeah. Well, do you have a favorite outfit for vaulting?
Oh, I don't know if I have one. Mm-hmm. But anything that has gold... or glitter.
Mm-hmm.
That's for me.
Oh, you like gold and glitter on you?
Yes. But on the other hand, this year I decided to just go something completely plain because I just wanted to feel 100% like myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... So yeah, either completely plain or gold and glitter. But I always need to have something gold on me. Even if the suit is completely, I don't know, green, I'll put a golden stone on it.
Mm-hmm.
I need gold when I enter the arena.
I love that.
Yes, it's my lucky charm. I don't know if it had worked yet, but...
I think so. You're quite successful in my eyes. Well, I think that everybody needs something like that. And in vaulting, it's not easy because you get easily disturbed by having gear on you. You can't have like a little cute charm on you because it will be in the way.
Yeah, so I'm just done with crystals. It's cool.
Yeah, well, what else does a girl need?
Yeah,
or a boy? I mean, we don't need to be any gender here, but... Yeah, what the... In our sports, we need glitter and gold.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Oh, do I have to answer that question?
When it comes to vaulting.
Exactly.
What would you, where would you like to be in 5 years? You don't have to be realistic. Just where you would like to be.
Oh, that's so difficult.
Oh, 10 years.
That's even more difficult.
Oh my God.
I can't, right now, I can't really, to be honest, think about more than 1 year at a time.
Okay, well, but where do you see in 1 year?
In 1 year?
Yeah.
I see myself in the best shape of my life, vaulting-wise. Mm-hmm. And awesome. I see Charlie in the best shape of his life, vaulting-wise. And I see us go to competitions and be all, like, I set tiny goals for myself that has nothing to do with the competition, actually.
Yeah.
But just to go in there and have a certain feeling or mm-hmm. certain harmony with Charlie. So that's definitely what I'm aiming for. Being
that's
able to go somewhere and just enjoy the ride. I have had that before. It's not... Not like it's something new, but every time I just want to add one more exercise where I really feel like I'm in the zone,
mm-hmm.
Because you know it yourself, then you can go, everything is well for a few exercises, then you lose a stride or something and you're like, oh fuck, and then you have to go back into your bubble.
Yeah.
And I really want to, I'm really aiming for, and it's a little bit of pressure to put on myself, but mm-hmm. to have a clean round in that matter, mm-hmm. Where I'm just completely in my zone with my horse. And just doing my thing and enjoying it. And yeah. I feel like this year I've come far in that matter. So next year I'll just go even further.
And I think that is about that feeling
yep.
that I'm after. And why I said worlds was just because I wanted to have something that is worth working for.
Yep. I get it.
Because if you put two small goals... It's not hard enough.
No, then you don't have to fight for it in the same way.
Exactly. I mean, I remember, and that is so important to go back and think about that too. I mean, if I remember where I started, my goal was to get a bow on a horse competition. That was my first goal.
Yeah.
And I have already reached it
yeah.
a couple of times.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was my first goal, and that was unthinkable back then.
Yeah.
So...
And that's the thing. Things change
yes.
and people change and
yes.
we keep growing.
Have you ever thought you would be... Oh, wait, I remember. You remember I sent it to you? You had like a story from a year ago where you... Or 2 years ago or something. It was like, I wish I would go to the nationals in Denmark. And that you felt
oh,
it
yeah,
would be
with them,
totally
with them.
Unrealistic.
Yeah. True. Yeah, that's the thing. There are so many unrealistic things that happened. different. Like, yeah, I thought that was unrealistic, but I need to have it as a goal. And even though it had to take 2 years
yeah.
to get there, I got there, and that's what matters.
And by the way, totally unfair.
Good things take time.
Totally unfair of me to ask where you'll be in 5 or 10 years because I have no freaking idea where I will be.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Then 1 year.
Yeah, well, 1 year. My hope is really to be able to qualify for the Swedish championships because that is actually... That's a goal that was smaller than going to an international competition, but it had turned to be out harder because...
Really?
I have to do a technical test and do the full senior 3-star
yeah.
to get to a Swedish comp.
Yes, you have to qualify by competing as a 3-star vaulter.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly. So, but going to international competition is only 1-star, so it was easier to get to the
yeah.
international competition, which I thought was quite weird, but yeah, that is what it was. And therefore that has turned to be the bigger goal, but that's my goal for next year.
That's awesome.
Really hope to be able to do that. So yeah, basically that. Or if I put it down to smaller pieces, to do a technical test.
Yeah.
We start there.
Great.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And basically, not so much about the scores. I mean, of course, it should be as good as I'd be able to qualify for the nationals. Exactly. But the scores are actually not so high. It's 5.5. That's not so high, but we don't have so much vaulters in Sweden, so they can't have, like, super high scores. I guess they're much higher in Germany.
I can imagine.
Yeah. And yeah, well, other goal would be to... I want to start to do the... these vaulting Voltigierabzeichen, these not brochures, but like you do like tests where you show what you are capable of doing. You don't get any notes, you just get either you did it or you did not pass.
So, okay.
And you do it in different difficulties, but for me, that is like just showing to myself that I have accomplished something.
Yeah.
That's basically
and that. That's what matters.
Yeah, I accomplished it myself.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
So there, yeah, it's a small, tiny goals. What did you get into vaulting?
What got me into vaulting?
Yeah, what got you into vaulting?
Actually, I think what got me into vaulting was, as I recall, I got too big for riding ponies, and it was too much of a challenge for me to start riding horses.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sweet mom had a horse that she offered to launch me on, and we did some over jumps and small jumps and sitting backwards and just goofing around. And then a friend of mine had actually tried vaulting before, and that way I kind of got introduced to it. And yeah, from there on it just took speed. Or not speed, because I did walk for several years. Yeah, I did walk for many years as a teen. And then I did individual encounter. Yep.
What do you think is more fun, individual or team?
I mean, it is two very different things.
Mm-hmm.
I love having a team around, especially the team that I have now. Mm-hmm. They are something special to me. And we can just support and help each other in many ways. Share our knowledge and our different perspective on exercises and all kind of stuff like that. But as an individual, you have a little bit more freedom to do just you, but that can also be hard at times.
Yes.
Just always being having only your own opinion or own view of things and not really get to be with others, especially when times are hard and cold. So I gotta be honest, I recently learned to run into the arena as an individual and feeling like I belong there. As a team, it's definitely easier.
Yeah.
You got your squad with you and we are allowed to be there. And as an individual, it has been harder for me, definitely. I was kind of 2 days years old when I started to feel like, okay, it's awesome running in here. And I'm allowed to be here.
Oh, you were a long time, Amanda. You are awesome.
Well, thank you.
And what comes down to individual, I think that is what is so nice of having friends like you.
Yeah.
Because then you can be stronger together and you can exchange thoughts and you get strong together. I mean, I'm basically individual not by choice because I don't have a possibility to train in a team. But on the other hand, as you said, there are a lot of advantages with it too.
Yeah. You share the ups and downs, and that's definitely a huge difference.
Yeah. But sometimes it's really nice to be able to, okay, now I want to develop this, and then I'm going to go all in for it, and nobody else has a saying in it. And sometimes I think it is, I have been in a team too, but sometimes it can be hard to get everybody to raise a level, because then you need individual help to everybody.
Yeah.
And one trainer to five people is less training time for each individual than one trainer for one person. So, yeah. So everything comes with a good and a bad side of it.
Yeah.
But
as a team, you can also always just take everyone's forces and put into a freestyle. So when you have someone like me who's not flexible, but you have five other girls that are very flexible,
yeah,
nobody will notice.
No. That's awesome.
But as an individual, just all eyes on you and your 90 degrees kneel.
yes. Also the concurrence, the other people, there are not so many teams to compete against. I mean it's very hard to get a team together.
It is. It sure is.
And yeah, so there are more individuals to compete against.
Yeah.
And we don't even have a pas de deux in Sweden at the moment. Oh. Or maybe they've started one now, but
maybe you should
Yeah, I want to. Started. But it's not so easy to find a partner.
No.
Or at least not to find a partner in your area where you live, because nobody can do vaulting and then just start
you have to start them up from scratch.
Yeah, so it takes a little time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you're done with the group, we didn't put it in.
Yes, that's the only thing I haven't done.
Yeah. That's fun. I have done it on a simulated competition, yeah. And that was really, really fun. I loved it. I also loved our theme.
Yeah.
Flash dance. That's awesome, yeah. Okay, we'll have Kea.
Yes, that's good.
That's actually something I would like to talk with you about on the podcast, because we have been talking about it before in person, and that is that both you and I feel that sometimes the vaulting community, like around the globe, and not specifically in any country or place, but that is some kind of silent culture that if you're not in the sport, you can't get to know a lot about it.
Yeah, it's hard to get information and the transparency, I think.
Yeah.
Transparency.
Yes.
Yes.
I know some people have told me that they always think about how to show horses on competitions. And of course, that is so in every horse sport. I understand that. But particularly, it felt that in vaulting, it is a lot about, we don't want anybody to say that vaulting is bad for the horse. Yeah. And that's quite interesting, because for me, I mean, of course, I've been thinking about that vaulting could be bad for the horse, and I have gone through a lot of thinking.
Yeah.
And in the end, I found that some horses, they're just better vaulting horses. They're just fit to it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
Thanks to social media, and that had made it easier to network and probably made it more transparent, and you can ask people easier.
Yeah.
I think it has become better, but definitely the part about the horse, and you don't want anyone to think that you do anything that is harsh on the horse. I can stand up for what I do. So whenever I meet critical comments or people saying something stupid about, oh, vaulting is not good for the horse, I feel like I can justify. Yeah, I can justify what I do, so it doesn't hit me that hard. And I'm not a person who likes to discuss, but I'll definitely try to explain to the people what I'm doing and how my horse is trained for this.
Mm. Have you met bad comments and messages on social media?
In the beginning, yes. At the moment, no. I don't think, I don't know if Instagram just sorted, kind of sorted out.
Yeah.
But not lately. In the beginning, yes, people were, who didn't know about vaulting, were a bit critical. First of all, due to me not wearing a helmet. Second
classic.
Of all, me jumping on my horse. And people have wrote comments like, I wish that horse would jump on your back as well. And why is that horse cantering so slow? And why is it... Yeah.
Well, what about the cantering of the too slow? I mean, that
sounds,
I mean,
for
me...
It's
what they
ridiculous.
Do they do in dressage competitions?
Yeah. And obviously the side reins can be a huge issue for people who don't know about it.
Mm.
But I mean, as I said, I can justify what I do, so I don't mind speaking to these people and trying to tell them my side of the story, like why I do what I do and how my horse actually loves doing vaulting compared to other disciplines. Whenever I tell him to do show jumping, he will just run straight into into the jump. And with dressage as well, I have a dressage rider on him, and they have had their challenges.
Yeah.
Because he's like, no, I want to know what I'm about to do. Like, and he know that with vaulting, he knows it's a circle, and he knows, or when he know my programs, when we have done them for a long time, he's just comfortable in it, and he knows what's about to happen, and that's what makes him comfortable.
And I think since I vaulted on your horse Parco, or your family's horse Parco, I really got to understand that there are certain horses who are just like almost made for the job.
Yeah.
I mean, he loves it.
Yeah, that's his thing as well.
Yes, and that had like changed a little bit of my perspective too, that you need to find the right individuals. I mean, there will be horses that don't like it, but then you have to listen to the horse as it would be in any other sport.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're just recently I read about a horse that had been gone quite high and jumping, and the owner felt the horse doesn't like to do the job anymore. So she gave away her horse, and it was a very expensive horse, but she gave the horse away to a person she knew how she handled horses, and gave that horse a different chance, because I mean, they come in all sizes and shapes, and
yeah,
of course he was bred to do a job, but if the mind doesn't
follow,
the
mind doesn't
follow,
yeah.
So yeah, but I think that it is important to, like, on social media to show what is good with sport and to advocate it, because if nobody speaks up and if it's still a silent culture, nothing will happen.
Yeah, so exactly. And I think also people are of that belief that vaulting horses only run in circle, as an example.
Yeah.
Because they see what all us vaulters post from competitions and training that we have, like, gathered together in a little clip, and then they expect that to be going on for hours. And yeah, we just have to be more open about it, I think. And yes, tell what's actually going on.
Yeah. The interesting thing for me is, I mean, when I tell people that, okay, well, a vaulting horse, it goes maybe tops 2 times a week vaulting, and the rest of the week does a ton of different other stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of times I find that vaulting horses are more multidisciplinary.
Yes,
than
definitely.
Usual riding horses, because maybe a person who does jumping, well, just jumping 2 times a week, and the rest of the week they ride.
Yeah.
But I used to double lunge my horse, because it's a very good work for the horse, and also hiking and dressage. So I mean, for me it's like, okay, what does my horse not do?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And there's something else I was thinking about, about the silent culture. Stupid brain. Yeah, see, cut out that. No, but I really feel that we need to speak up more and show the good things with this. But yeah, exactly. No, I remember. The funny thing is, if you look at the horse, and as you said, people see them only run in circles. Well, but a lot of people think that a vaulter only does vaulting on a horse.
Yeah.
And I mean, you show on your Instagram a lot of different training that you put on because you don't do vaulting 6 days a week.
No, exactly. Yeah. So just like the horse, we have to be all-around athletes and we have to be strong, flexible, have some kind of agility and explosiveness. Yeah. So we have to work on that on the side. Yeah, and that's definitely some kind of image we have to kill, that people just believe that all we do is vault and stretch because that's far from it.
And in the beginning, when I started to post like a lot of exercises and stuff that wasn't on a horse, at first I was like, okay, should I have like a hashtag of on vaulting? Because is this even vaulting?
Yeah, exactly.
And then after a while, it's like everything is vaulting.
Everything you do is related to that.
Yeah. How does a typical week look for you when it comes to training?
It differs a bit.
Of course.
Well, a typical week would definitely be... I have my two sessions of vaulting with Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
For about 1.5 hours. And obviously he's not running in circles for 1.5 hours.
Yeah.
And then I have my gym work and my prehab almost every weekday. And then I have the barrel, of course. It's not as much barrel as I would like it to be. I used to go for every day that I didn't vault due to barrel, but again, you gotta listen to your body, and right now it's not the time for me to work out so intense in that matter. But yeah, I like to put in at least 2 sessions with the bell as well on a week.
Well, I usually spend 2 days on the barrel in the week.
Yeah.
And not that I do so much other sports. I mean, of course, I do other sports, but that's like only the cherry on the top. But I do the gymnastic class 1 or 2 times a week. And
yeah. And then gym that class. Adds a lot of good stuff as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I think the good thing is that you do similar exercises that make you better in vaulting, but you don't think about that this is vaulting right now.
No.
I mean, of course, I know what I'm doing, and I know this exercise will make me better in like a mount, for example.
Yeah.
But since the body does a different kind of movement, it's easier to forget what you think about usually in vaulting. You can just like forget it. Like you would do a swing on the right-hand side on the horse when you usually do it on the left. Oh, suddenly it goes better because you don't think about the usual stuff.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, really. But yeah, it was so nice talking to you, Amanda.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. Yeah.
And I know there are so many topics left that would be awesome to talk about. So
yes,
maybe
sure.
You want to do another one in the future.
Definitely.
Also, because I always ask people, if you have any questions or ideas for new episodes of this pod, please don't hesitate to get in touch with us through Instagram, where the name is The Vaulting Blog, or by email, which is thevaultingblog@gmail.com.